Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey, everybody. Hello.
Well, hello.
We are back.
Sort of.
With a very special episode.
We are. If you listen to our X-Files mailbag episode yesterday, you know that we are not quite on the schedule that we anticipated being on. We had to take a week off and give you some bonus content this week. We're going to be back with our regularly scheduled programming the week after Thanksgiving. So November 29th will be the finale of X-Files, and then we will resume our Slayers coverage the next day, November 30th. We're up to the fifth episode there. You can find all of the updated production schedule on our website, bufferingcast.com. Just click on calendar. For those of you who don't know, I've been dealing with some family health stuff. My dad is in the later stages of dementia right now, and the last couple of weeks have been pretty difficult and have required pretty much 100% of my time and energy. So I've been doing that lift, and I've had a lot of support from all of you, and of course, so much support from Jenny, as always. So thank you for that. All right, so Jenny, that is not to downplay the fucking importance of today's episode, which is really fucking cool, and I'm very excited about.
Yeah, we had such a lovely conversation with Casey Wayland, who produced Slayers and has been working in audio fiction for a very long time, and also is co-directing alongside Christopher Golden and Amber Benson. Mm-hmm. He was just such a joy to talk to. We got some really cool insights. A lot of them concern his dog's performance in the show, and I'm really excited about that. But there's so much good stuff in here. We're really excited to share this conversation with you.
Hell yes. Let's get on over there. Casey, thank you for coming on our little podcast. It's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here. I was catching up on the first Slayers episode on Buffering, and your first thoughts. It's pretty fun.
What did you think about our thoughts on your thoughts? You know what I mean? Like, how many times can we go around the circle talking about each other's thoughts on each other's work?
It was pretty fun. I mean, it's really interesting to hear, you know, like, people's interpretation of something that I've heard a million times over. And because after a while, you lose the emotion of it. But getting to hear your feedback on it was really fun. And I'm not all the way through the first episode, I'll be honest, but I got a good start on it. So it's fun.
Very fun.
Well, this is for our part, it's the first time we are podcasting about what could be considered a podcast. To be making audio content about audio content is definitely a first for us, but it has been really fun and just like so exciting to be back inside of the universe with so many familiar voices who we love so much.
Yeah, I felt the same way, like coming on set, and because I was a Buffy fan, and interestingly enough, like, I had put little Easter eggs in my previous audio series about Buffy, and then all of a sudden, then they're like, oh, hey, you want to do one? And I'm like, oh, great. Yes. So now everyone thinks that, like, it's a plant for the future of wherever I got to go with the series.
I'm you like, sure. Always knew you would be making Slayers, yes.
Had no clue, but I'm going to claim, yes, I did. Some foresight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not only did you know, but you kind of manifested.
Yeah, why not?
I want to hear about your Buffy origin story. You know, obviously we want to talk about this permutation of things and learn how you got here. But start us at the beginning. Did you watch Buffy when it was on, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes. Well, actually, I didn't watch it when it was originally airing. It just wasn't on my radar. I was like, you know, I had heard some things, but and people had told me it was really good, but I never really believed them. And also one of the tough things is like, because it's serialized, being able to catch up when something's airing live, you know, back in the day when, you know, it was first on, was really hard. And especially when in my time in my life back then, I was like, nah, I couldn't make it work. But then I finally was able to get the whole series. And matter of fact, actually, I have it right there on DVD in the background, the little box set. So I was able to actually binge and go through all the episodes and be able to like really involve myself with the arcs and the characters and really understand how good it was and all the different, you know, arcs and manifestations that they did for every season. And I really enjoyed it. As a storyteller, I think it's just a really good example of how you can do something, you know, multi-series narrative, but yet still keep it fresh for every single iteration.
As someone who has viewed and enjoyed, we simply have to ask you, and there's no wrong answer for the most part, where you fall on the Spuffy, Bangel, Fuffy, Biley, or if you don't want to get really wild, Barker continuum. Who's your favorite Buffy boyfriend?
I'm Team Spike. I mean, that's kind of where I fall. Angel was a little bit of a pretty boy, and he didn't go through as much suffering for her. I mean, not to say that is a, you know, a good thing or bad thing, but as a character arc, to see what he had to do and sacrifice and change himself of who he was, I felt that was a much more genuine thing. And I felt the love was more true for that. And that the love-hate relationship that they have throughout the whole thing was much more interesting to me as a character than the others. Yeah. And Riley didn't even come close.
Poor Riley.
Poor Riley.
Off in the corner with his dunce cap on, despite our best efforts. So can you tell us how it came to be, for anybody who's listening and doesn't already know, that you became involved in this project? Where did the spark initiate, and where did you find yourself pulled in along the way? Or were you there right at the beginning?
So it's kind of an interesting journey. So I've been doing audio fiction since 2009. And so I started when podcasts were barely a thing, when you had to like sync a Zune or an iPod via a cable. And good luck with that. it has evolved, thankfully, since then, where you can actually just stream to your phone now and do it that way. But I got started early on and sort of made my own path with my own series called We're Alive, which was a serialized audio drama about the zombie apocalypse. And so little by little, I kind of grew in the medium, and all of a sudden I did a talk in the UK for Pod UK, which was a podcast convention on how you can take the audio medium and take it to the next level through some storytelling devices and doing this, things that are inherently difficult in an audio medium. And at that time, there were some Audible UK reps in the audience, and they were like, oh, we have a story that we're trying to do. It's an adaptation from an Ubisoft game, and you have a military background, so we think it might be a great, you know, fit. You know, you got the military side, you got the audio side, and they're trying to do a narrative with this. So I did a project for them called The Division Hearts on Fire, which was an adaptation in audio for Audible. And then I also did another original, which was Motel Evil for Audible, which is another serialized audio fiction story. And then later on, they came to me and they said, hey, we're working on something. It's a long way out. This is almost 2 years ago now. They're like, hey, we're trying to do something for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I was like, awesome. Sign me up whenever you're ready. They're like, it's the cast is mostly in LA, so we're looking for somebody to coordinate all of that stuff. We need someone who's, you know, can be the boots on ground to run this production, and also someone who can carry it through post, because that's one of my specialties, is being able to handle production and audio, because it can get very complicated very quickly. And so they kind of leaned on me. They said, hey, can you do it? And I said, I'm ready to go when you are. And then it just was a matter of just waiting for the stars to align in terms of, you know, the literal and philosophical actors to make sure that they were all able to do this at the same time. And we actually recorded in March of this year and then put the gear in overdrive to be able to release it by October.
Wow, that is a fast turn to have like that in the room in March.
8 hours in Atmos. Good luck with that.
So the recording, did the recording happen both in LA and also over in the UK? Is that, do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, so we fortunately were able to tie in Anthony Head in the UK. To be able to record with our cast for select sessions. There was a couple sessions he was not able to do synchronous with them, but we tried to keep those very minimal as much as possible, just because the time difference was actually one of the biggest factors of being able to get him with the cast and being able to, you know, because he's at the end of his day and we're at the start of ours, and being able to coordinate that with a remote UK studio with everyone's availability. It was very difficult, but we were able to do it at the most key moments to make sure that they had that synchronicity between them, and also being able to have everyone in the room at the same time. So we, at one point, I believe we had 8 different characters recording at the same time, all at once. And I just loved the ability to do that, because most people in the audio world, they're like, oh, you don't need to do that. But me, I'm like, no, you can hear a difference.
Is that an experience that you had with all of those voices inside of the room at once from work you had done prior, or is this a new? So you've done this in the past.
Yeah, I've done. I think I'm hitting probably around maybe 120 hours of produced material and audio, and the getting everyone in the same room at the same time is magic compared to when you have them separate, because audio is one of these things where, you know, just like television and every other creative medium, it's all about that suspension of disbelief. And if you don't have the characters able to interact with each other, you're going to be missing a lot of elements. The energy is not going to match. There's no improvisation. There's no back and forth. It just feels dead. And it actually becomes much harder to create something that works rather than getting everyone in the same space in the same time. And actually, it even takes longer. Even when you, because when you record a scene, you got to record it twice, and it just takes almost twice as long.
Mm-hmm. Will you tell us about some of the moments that you had inside of that room? I mean, I'm sure there are far too many to share all of them here, but you know, we've seen, and I'm sure that most of our listeners have seen some of that footage from when you were all together. But that's one, you know, one day, maybe 2 days worth of work. And so I'm just wondering some of your favorite moments with the cast and with the whole crew there.
After a while, I'll be honest, it kind of all blurs together, because we're in the studio for almost like 2 weeks roughly, and, they're long days and you're looking at the schedule and you're trying to make sure you're on time. But the fun thing about it is just to see how much these characters can come back to life and interact with each other. Like the Spike and Drew scenes were absolutely magical, the way that those two interacted with each other. There's a familiarity that you get after, you know, you can do recurring seasons with casts, and I've done that, but years and years of experience of them playing off each other, and just basically all you have to do is just hit start and record, and you don't have to do a lot of direction with them. I mean, it's a little bit here and there, like, oh, hey, we needed this for this audio quality, or hey, we needed a pickup of you biting someone's neck. But other than that, it's you just start the motor and they do the driving for you. And it's so much fun to watch them play and interact. And also when you bring in a fresh cast member like Indira, I know James will tell a lot of stories about like when all of a sudden she stepped onto the stage for the first time, everyone just kind of like perked up and had to like really, you know, feed off of her, because she just brought an energy that they had to bring their A game for, and it just kind of raised all of the performances over the top. And it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun to be able to be in there and let them ping pong back and forth, have jokes, tell stories, and reunite after so many years of being apart. And I just got to kind of sit at the side, make sure they hit their targets, their directions here and there, and just get to witness this magic.
Yeah, it's a real joy to get to listen to the magic. It's like just, I think anybody within the fandom would agree that like the announce of this was just like, what? This is beyond, I'm sure, like what anybody ever really thought would ultimately be possible within the universe, like continuing to expand with so many of these people that brought characters to life that we love a ton. It's just like, it's just such a gift.
And you found out when everybody else did with the public release, I take it. So just about a month before the release, that's when you found out? Or did you have some privy knowledge?
We were tipped off.
We're cool.
Someone.
Yeah. I thought so.
We got an advanced flair from Audible. No big deal.
when we heard about it, though, it really did feel like, how could this be an actual, true, real thing? Because it braided together so many of our little like fantasy threads from over the years. Like, wow, it would be so cool if there was like a new Slayer, and wow, it would be so cool if we got more Cordelia, and like got to really lean into Cordelia's. It just was like everything that was on our bingo card really got ticked off.
Justice for Cordelia. Anya doesn't have to be dead. Tara doesn't have to be dead. Wow, cool.
Our favorite part of like fantasy storytelling is, you know, you don't really always have to mourn to death completely, because there's always a way.
Especially, I mean, in the fantasy stories, I mean, there's been a lot of, I mean, Buffy, the character alone, died and came back. And it was a really fun way of doing that. But also, I mean, the way that it's told now, the stakes, I think, still are there, which is nice. And it got to explore some different avenues. And I think a slight spoiler, being part of this new world, so to speak, it kind of resets some things that can be a little bit more. Because like in the original, now that it's in this new world, I mean, there's so many Slayers in that other world that it was, I think there's a line in Slayers where like you're a dime a dozen, essentially. And there's so many now that it lost the weight of being one. And now in this world, all the stakes are back up there, which I think is kind of a fun way of kind of starting anew. And especially with this kind of a complicated IP with, you know, the ownership and who controls what and going through Disney and Fox and all those fun things. It's it's really fun to be able to like hit a reset button and do things differently, and also kind of prove that it works and maybe get to do more.
I really, you better. We will have words with the powers that be.
I'm hoping. I know no more than you do at this point. Yeah, I will say, because it's still fresh off the release, and but fingers crossed. And once you get to the buffering of the last episode, then you'll be able to probably talk about some of the things that could be out there.
Really, really hope so. There's a whole bunch of things that I already have in my brain that I want to talk to you about just from what we've said so far, but there's so much in the sound design that we haven't even like cracked open yet. And I know that you had so much to do with so much of the audio and audio effects that we hear. I'm going to politely turn it over to Jenny to phrase these questions properly, because I am simply a novice, but she is a proper music person.
I have one extremely pressing, my number one top priority question. Re-sound design. Can you tell us, or is it, you know, too private of a trade secret, how you achieved the sound of Clem's ears flapping?
That's an old-fashioned technique of I got my dog to do it. I will, after this, I'll send you the video of it. I might have it handy here. I go to the source on a lot of things, and I was trying to find a way to do the floppy ear thing, and nothing was working because, you know, it's the prosthetic ears and everything involved with that. It's hard to create something from scratch. And that's the thing about sound that some people don't realize, is you just can't like do something from nothing. It has to have a source. Like even when they create dragons on some of those crazy shows, they tend to you know, have them come from like a pig and an alligator and all these other different pieces. So you have to have like a genuine source to be able to make it work. And so what I did was I had my dog who and I could probably show a little bit on the phone. I mean, I will send you the video there. But essentially, like, just I was trying to get his rub his ears to where I could get that floppy sound to work, where it's just because he's kind of he's a rescue dog with big floppy ears. So I was trying to like just touch his ears to do it. Then all of a sudden, after a few minutes, he just did this little shake, and I was like, perfect, we're good. That'll be fine.
Oh my gosh. Honestly, his ears seem to be also like similar in size to Clem's ears. Like the, you know, the dynamics there, the measurements seem on.
So he actually provided not only the floppy ears for Clem, one of my favorite moments for sound, by the way, but he also did, this is a slight spoiler for when you get later in the series, but he also did the claws for the lion. The claws of when the lion is walking through, like we didn't have those types of the nails of keratin on concrete just didn't sound right from all the sound libraries I did. So I'm like, great, let me just pick up my dog and drop him several times. And then I turn that into the claws of him walking.
Oh my gosh. For the listeners who may not see this video elsewhere, please know that also during that moment of lion paw sounds, what is your dog's name, first of all?
Oh, it's Nacho. He's
Nacho.
He's a rescue nice. From Tijuana. He used to be a street dog. Oh. And we rescued him. He's about 6 years old now.
Wow. Nacho was getting a good sniff or lick of the microphone in the room in that clip, which
he does that incredible. A lot. And I'm like, I can't use that part. But, you know, as long as you get some pieces in there, it works. And
petition to get Nacho in the Audible credits. You know what I mean?
it's funny. The animals in this show were probably the most difficult part. Because especially Jasper is people don't think about this, but like when you have a dog that's a character in the show, you have to essentially find the same dog, but they have to have a multitude of different takes. And that was so hard to find. We actually cast my neighbor's dog in it. and it took us forever because the dog, you know, when you want a dog to perform or even anything to perform like an animal, it never does. and we needed a lot because Jasper's in the whole thing for, you know, hours on end. And then we went through and basically did an analyzation of all the dogs and said, oh, this yip here means this. This yip means this, and translated them all to be used where they needed to be.
Wow. So it's sort of like you created a dog language for Jasper and then used that for appropriate emotional moments.
Yeah, exactly. That way the sound designer, amazing. Instead of like searching for something, because literally the Jasper talks, I mean, if you want to think about it like lines, it has like maybe 50 lines an episode sometimes. And you don't want the same. You want different.
I was going to say that, you know, when you listen to this as just a listener, you're just driving your car or you've got your headphones on or what have you, Jasper is there and he's a dog and it feels real. But even when we go back in, like when we go back in and take our notes, I have the script in front of me. And when you actually see like sound effects, this is Jasper's feeling. I'm like, wow, I'm really starting to understand some of the behind the scenes lift on this thing that just feels so normal. It's just a dog barking in a room. But wow, to get that to like actually just feel so normal is huge.
And then we manipulate the dog completely because it becomes a dog and a person. It just gets it gets wacky, the kinds of things we had to do for that. And then also the monkey. The monkey was do you know the story behind the monkey? Did they tell you?
I got a clue, but I don't have the full
I have
story.
Nothing, and I would really like an explanation of Mr. Pickles, please.
I am Mr. Pickles.
Incredible.
Spit take. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that when you were drinking, Kristen, but
I know. I had to lean away from the microphone.
So I was in the studio and I just started doing Mr. Pickles to be able to have them interact with it. And then Chris was like, well, just go up to the mic and we'll just get it recorded. And I'm like, great. It'll be temp. It'll give us something to go with. And then they were like, okay, cool, we'll keep it. You're now Mr. Pickles. And I'm like, okay.
Is that your IMDb page?
Yeah, something new for IMDb.
I probably will list it just for fun. There actually is, if you listen to the credits, there's a little joke when it gets to Mr. Pickles' credit at the very end of Slayers that I will leave for you. Most people, you know, they're like, I'm not going to listen to the credits. It's a little Easter egg in there.
Oh, fun.
A tasty treat.
I don't know. These Buffyverse kids, they are all about Easter eggs, you know? Combing through. I'm curious about a particular sound effect and how much you had to do with it, which is the sound effect that cues us that we're moving between dimensions. Mm-hmm. It's such a specific cue, and it's such an important cue for the listener. So I would love to hear what that process was like in figuring out what it was going to be.
So that's it's a combination, because like every single sound effect that we have is a combination about like five or six, depending on what it is, especially the magic stuff. Like the magic stuff, to be able to get, you have sound effects libraries that you can pull from, and it's like you have magic and you have this tone, you have that tone. But really it's about like taking pieces of them and kind of manipulating them in a way to make it work together. So it's a little bit of the composer also would enhance some background noise as well. So we did not only some effects on the foreground, but also the music itself has some additionals. And then if you listen really closely, you'll actually notice that depending on the warping between which reality, it's different. So you'll know if you're in essentially universe A or universe B as they go between the two. So we tried to make them unique like that so that it has this signature of, oh, I know exactly where I am at this point in time.
I don't know the first thing about Atmos. I just know that I heard it. Jenny, you did something that was in Atmos, and that was the first time I'd heard of it. And then this is in Atmos. And so I think that there will be a spectrum of people like me who are like, so what's happening there? And up to, you know, people like you who are actually creating the thing. But maybe, Jenny, you have more specific questions that will make more sense. But I just want to hear how this works and what it's doing to my ears and brain.
It's one of these things that is difficult for some people to listen in Atmos, because it only works on certain devices, because you get to listen to binaural in headphones is the standard release. So you can kind of hear the stereophonic qualities of ear to ear. But what Atmos does is if you have AirPod Pros, what they do is they actually take a picture of your ear when you first get them, so that when you put them in your ear, they actually know kind of how your ear responds. And so they can actually like track your head movement. So when you're facing certain sounds, you can hear them as you move.
Whoa, okay. Okay, so I'm just impressed by the audio. Didn't even hear it in Atmos. And we're starting there. Great, cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really cool experience. And it's kind of like a future-proof thing where more and more devices are being able to listen in Atmos. So that's one of the cool things about it is we had to essentially do an entire mix of the thing and also give positions to all the characters, all the effects. So when you're hearing people move across, literally we had to move them in 3D space as they're going from place to place to be able to kind of get that Atmos sound. So if you were to, say, listen to it in like a theater, you would feel that the characters are moving around around you. And even when the characters, like the first scene, when they're throwing over your head, you'll actually hear them go over your head, because there's literally there are speakers in the ceiling.
Wow.
when you're listening to this stuff. And it added a lot of work to be able to figure out how to not only create Atmos, but then also unify the experience for those who can't listen in Atmos. And so it was a very complicated workflow, and like I made a manual for it that's like over 80 pages, because it was that much of a, it was a new thing for us as well. And so this new technology and how to make it work right, and even people at Dolby and even Audible are still figuring out how to do it in this audio space, because Atmos is usually tailored for movie theaters where you have a screen. When you don't have a screen, you're limitless with how you want to make it happen. So we would have characters, like when you have a character who's like entering from the magic shop in behind you, we can actually do that in 3D space and then have them come forward to feel like you're taking advantage of the entire sphere of audio around you.
That's so cool.
That's so wild.
It was really fun. Complicated and really time consuming.
Yeah.
But fun.
Today's episode is brought to you by Regal Cinemas. If you're anything like me, you deeply enjoy going to the movies. Going to the movies is probably among my top three all-time activities. I love seeing films on the big screen. I also love being around other people who are watching the same movie with me at the same time. And of course, I love eating giant buckets of popcorn. If you feel the same and you like going to the theater, Regal Unlimited is something that just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two movie visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates, no restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in 4DX or IMAX or RPX or ScreenX, there's so many ways to watch movies these days, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you don't only save money on the tickets, you will also save on your snacks. And as previously mentioned, I love snacks. The only thing that can make me love a snack more is saving money on buying a snack. Members get 10% off of all non-alcoholic concession items with membership. Regal Unlimited, all you can watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two visits. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited and sign up now. You can sign up in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Sign up for Regal Unlimited using code BUFFERING and earn 10% off your three-month subscription. Please let us know about all of the movies you see and how the popcorn is.
Hey, Kristen.
Oh, hey, Jenny.
You know how we're always obtaining new lotions and creams for our faces?
You know, I really do. We talk about skincare more than anyone probably has a right to know.
It's true. If you, like us, are tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, then let us tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
And here's the deal. The reason that OneSkin is very different from anything else is because they use a proprietary OS1 peptide. If there was time, I would play the medical doctor jingle for myself just for saying that. It's the first ingredient that is proven to actually switch off the aging cells that cause the lines and the wrinkles and the thinning skin. And they have a bunch of studies to back this up. We've both received their products and just started using them, and they are awesome. I also love the fact that they come with refillable inserts. So you sort of get your plastic container one time, and then if you like the product and you keep going, they just send you the little packet that goes inside. So if you want to learn more about them, you should check them out at oneskin.co. They are the world's first skin longevity company. They focus on cellular aspects of aging and keep your skin looking and acting healthier for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code BUFFERING at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code BUFFERING. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Jenny, I'm going to leave space for you for any other audio specific questions, since my question was, what is Atmos?
I think we hit all of my most pressing questions. Full disclosure.
Oh,
I am.
Right.
I've only listened through episode 4. I'm the unspoiled party in our listen.
Okay.
Kristen has been all the way to the end.
I'm not used to protecting her either. She's usually always protecting me from spoilers.
No, that's perfect. I mean, there's a lot that'll happen. Matter of fact, I think, is at the end of... Oh, so you have listened to 4. There's a really fun Atmos section at the very end of 4 where the room kind of gets sucked into a portal.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite Atmos moments where, like, literally, if you watch the 3D space, they're like circling around the room and they get pulled to the very center. And if you got to hear that with all the speakers in that setup, it's just one of the most incredible moments that I think is inside of this feature.
Oh, that's so wild. It felt wild to hear just in regular headphones.
But you'll be ready. It won't be like when Buffy, the television series, got put into widescreen and then we could all see the camera folks. And, you know, you're prepared. Mm-hmm. You're ready for all of the future. So your creation will be preserved for the future of time.
Exactly. And if they, you know, if by the future, when you have more and more drivers in your ears and the way that people can listen now gets even better, mm-hmm. then you can just increase your listening experience. And I've had a lot of people come back to me later on after, because even when I first started this, headphones were not very good. And they've actually made a lot of improvements in the last like 10 years. And they're like, oh man, I'm hearing stuff I never heard before. And I'm like, yes, good. There's also this balance of the listener getting grossed out and doing too many things like squishy and things like that. Like people, their ears tend to not like that sometimes. Yeah. And so those are the moments sometimes we had to draw it back a little bit. And actually, there was something that was cut out in the very introduction when Spike is talking about the space of the gambling pit in the first episode. We did put a little bit in the background as he's talking about it, but then we took it out to kind of give it when he transitions to the space, we hit it, you know, a little bit harder rather than kind of inspire it a little bit more to kind of get the idea of what their world is like. And a lot of it also has to come from the booth. Like these monsters have to be like monsters in the booth, and then you just add the enhancements on top of that.
The Anyanka stuff is unbelievable. Yeah. It's really unbelievable. So we have just been losing it over Emma's performance, and then in combination with the effects that are put on Anyanka, just as Anyanka, but then Anyanka and Clem's head and, you know, so on and so forth. Just stunning and chilling and also hilarious somehow. You know, like all the things we want from the Buffyverse.
There are more audio special effects, I think, in this than I've ever done before in any production. Like if you listen closely, like that you just mentioned the Anya voice in Clem's head. If you listen very carefully, there's a tone in the background that happens when she's talking to him. Even though you can't hear her voice, you can hear the tone when it starts to get impactful and it starts to affect him so that you can know that she is actually talking at that time, even though you can't hear it.
Wow, that's really fucking cool.
Love it.
Any other Easter eggs that we should go digging for that we haven't found? I mean, I know that's really undoes the point of an Easter egg. We're supposed to find them, but
there's so many little things that are custom to these scenes, like custom chains, custom voices. Just there's so much going on in the background too. Like we would have full Walla sessions with people acting as demons, because we had to create something from scratch. And that's always hard is like Walla. We can't just go with just a typical soundtrack of, oh, we're just going to have a crowd in the background. No, it's a demon pit with people gambling. I mean, they're not going to be gambling with money. They're, you know, how do you reinforce a scene like that? Just have to have a bunch of, you know, actors performing in the background doing crazy things. So if you listen carefully, you can see hear some of the conversations they have. And just none of it's scripted. It's just them having fun in the booth.
Yeah. Had you worked with any of these folks before?
Some of the actors are. Like one of the cinnamon vampire is a friend of mine who I've worked with in the past. There is a torture victim that's in the background. That's my wife. That is one of the most heart-crushing screams in one of the torture rooms in the background of my wife. We recorded it in front of my son, and my son was just like, didn't know the mom could get there.
Oh my God! How old is your son?
My son is 7.5. And he does audio stuff with me. Actually, he's I'm doing another story right now about kids on Catalina in the zombie apocalypse. It's kind of like Lord of the Flies meets the zombie world. And he's playing a lot of the background kids in that to fill in the blanks. And he has a lot of fun with it. But he never knew that mom could do it or dad for that instance. Like we tend to throw our voices in there when it's necessary and we don't have anything. And inadvertently, there's a couple. Like I play one of the demons that gets his tongue torn out by Spike. So that was a
delicious.
Fun one.
Delicious.
It's fun. You get to, as a sound designer, you always need an extra voice here and there. So inadvertently, it tends to be one of us throwing our voice in there.
I had asked also, like, I had asked if you had worked with any folks before, both for your answer, but also just for the two of us, you know, every time we've interacted with anyone from the cast, it has been the most incredible experience. They just seem to be this very magical, no pun intended, group of individuals. And so I was also wondering, you know, what it was like for you, but, you know, coming into it both a fan of their work and the show and the content and all of that, but really getting to kind of see them be together in a space with each other.
Yeah, it's honestly, working with this cast is, like I said before, it's magical. They're all of them are the sweetest people you could work with. I've worked with many different celebrity voices before, and all of them are just, they're very down to earth. They're very focused. Like, James is one of the most, like, professional actors in terms of just focusing and really he is a big fan of the craft. Like, he will commit mm-hmm. to no end, and he will not he won't be done until he feels that it's right. And he's just wants to get it perfectly in the can. And that was tough, like, because when we first worked with James, he was a little bit under the weather in the recording process, because he was doing a con right before. And we had to push him through some stuff, and he held on, and, like, he's more of a trooper, I think, than I've worked with any other actor, of, like, just pushing through because he wanted to be there with the characters, he wanted to interact. And and then what we were able to do afterwards was we were able to bring him back into the studio and do pickups of those moments that may have, like, didn't, like, his voice maybe was tired or cracked at that point. So we were able to use those performances to influence. But working with him through the whole thing was just super fun. And Charisma and I, like, I was a little worried. I didn't know how directing Charisma was going to be. I was like, you know, you never know how people respond to someone on the side saying, hey, I need you to do this, especially when there are three directors. I mean, there's mm-hmm. Chris, and there's Amber and myself, and they all have different notes, and when you're sometimes are getting, you know, we really didn't have any conflicts between us in terms of what the notes of direction we want to have. We all would have something different to say. Mm-hmm. Chris would come in with something with the story. Amber would come up with something about the performance aspect. I may come in with something that was performance or sound wise, or, you know, a piece that we needed here or there. But we all worked pretty well together to make that happen. But I also you never know how an actor is going to receive getting direction. And especially with something like this, that's like, I need you to perform action in front of a microphone. Mm-hmm. And some actors really get it because they've done a lot of voice stuff, and some they don't. So I'm always like, are they going to? And she was the sweetest person to work with. Like, I would get up a lot and just work with her on my feet. And be like, okay, we need to do this, we need to do this. And, like, I would literally, like, point a hand and be like, okay, I need you to hit, and then you to hit, and then you to hit. And then I would, like, physically get up and direct them that way. And she was so, so responsive and loved working with me on that. And we've actually, it's kind of funny now, we, like, out of all the cast members, we're the ones that actually, like, still keep in contact through it all. Mm-hmm. As she is doing a lot of Slayer stuff and just one of the sweetest people to work with. And it's like that with a lot of the cast. They're just so down to earth. Like, Jimmy Leary is just an amazing, funny guy. And it's just everybody brings something really cool to this experience. And I'm honestly looking forward to getting the band back together. Knock on wood. Hopefully we get to do it again. And kind of get to explore new routes where the story takes you. Because I think it's one of these things where now that you've proven that the story can work and that people enjoy mm-hmm. it, there's an audience for it, the next time you get to, you know, get to go even further and like even make a even stronger second season. Now that you kind of established something, you can go even further with it.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Let it be so.
We want that. And if you have, if you wind up writing any podcasters into your universe, we are here for you, Casey. Need any extra narrative lift from our end? We've got you.
Part of me is actually kind of glad I didn't do any real writing on this one, because this is tough. I mean, when you're dealing with something that's existed already, and there are other creative elements already in place of things that have already been established, you're always mm-hmm. going to get people who, you know, are a little bit harder on that. So in some ways, I'm kind of like, yeah, I like being the one of the directors and a producer on it. I get to look at a script and say, okay, let's modify this or change this, or mm-hmm. this is how we can make these moments work a little bit differently here to make sure it translates across the medium without having to worry about like story stuff, because story stuff gets really, really tricky.
Especially with like this universe that people take, like have such a personal, deep, in many cases, long-standing attachment to specific mm-hmm. versions of these characters that now are being explored in new ways. I mean, I think it's like, I feel like we're living in peak multiverse acceptance, mm-hmm. you know, at this moment in time. So like, this might be the best possible time for sort of like a new branch to shoot off from this established world. But I'm just so excited
yeah.
to have a new kind of story, this sort of like the new voice that is creating this world, like, or expansion of a world that we already know and love, and like going mm-hmm. new places with it. It's just so awesome. It's just so great to be alive at this moment.
it really is. And also to explore like new characters. Like, I think Indira was one of the best like additions to the cast of like bringing someone fresh in to really embody a character. And I do have a little weird story about how we found her.
Please.
So, she is so fantastic.
Isn't she amazing? Like
unbelievable.
When we were first going through this, Amber, Chris, and I, of like the casting process of bringing in these new characters, because we didn't have very many new characters to bring in, but we did have some mm-hmm. to, you know, find the right role for. And I'm a pretty big gamer, so I was playing God of War Ragnarok, and literally they had given me the script and I had read it, and I was like, we've been thinking about casting, and all of a sudden I'm playing it one day and I'm like, and then her character comes on, and I'm like, perfect. That's exactly who we need for this role, because I hear a lot of voices all day long, and when one of them like jumps out at me, like, oh, this is would be the perfect character. Mm-hmm. And then we just made some connections, made some phone calls, found agents, pulled it together, and we're like, hey, want to do this? And Leia is the best. Just so into audio that she knows, her instincts are far beyond her years in terms of how she can approach something, and honestly just will blow you away with anything she does.
Yeah, she's crushing so hard.
That is the nerdiest possible story you could have told us, so really fitting in this space.
I am probably one of the bigger nerds on the team, by far and away.
I feel so very honored that you came and chatted with us. We've been devouring the series. Well, I really did devour the series. I've put all 9 in my head, but it's been really cool to get some behind-the-scenes stuff with you. And I hope that this is the first of many conversations that we get to have with you as the universe expands. We hope, knocking on all the wood.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Thank you for, you know, all of the things that we have in the story, but all of the ways in which you also brought the sound in here to make it feel like we are sitting in the room. It's just fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in terms of production, with all the little weird things you get, and sometimes at the 11th hour, I can dish, right? A little bit?
Yes, that's what you're doing.
I mean, I know we're towards the end of this and all, but the interesting thing about doing this is like getting permission to use certain things. And actually, we unfortunately had to cut. There was a little poem that Drusilla did while she was combing the hair of her dolly in one of the later episodes that you hear. And unfortunately, it's like whenever you start singing something, it gets really weird. And even though they had the rights to the song underneath it, they were a little like concerned with how it would work. So they had to completely cut that, unfortunately, last minute. So stuff like that happened. And then also there's a part where Clem hums. And because he hums something that was not public domain in Europe, but is public domain in the US, we had to do a pickup session for just humming.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. We had to do it. All this came in very last minute, too, of the be able to hit the crossing of that finish line in time. And I don't think they're going to mind me saying those things just because it's one of the things, you know, when you deal with something like this and higher pieces, there's always something coming down the pipe. And so and that was a last minute swap out, especially when, you know, when you're dealing with 8 hours of stuff, swapping something last minute is never easy.
Oh my gosh. No, I cannot imagine all of the small things that become huge things in creating a project like this, truly.
But overall, it's been fun. And I'm really hoping that, like, when the more and more people listen to this and add reviews to it online, the more chance we have of making even more. So fingers crossed to dive back into Buffyverse.
We have to add the call for folks to review. That's a call that we have not been making, but we will. We'll add that in because we want more. We will use any power we have to get more.
Any means necessary.
The more you share it, the more it has legs for a second season is what I'm told.
Yeah, yeah. And folks, I think, are really invested in, I mean, the folks that we've been in conversation with through what we do are really invested in the story and, you know, really all hoping for more. So hopefully that will all translate in the ways that it needs to get you guys back for a second season.
Yay! Because we always need more Mr. Pickles, right?
Always. Yes. Always. apart from your incredible work voicing Mr. Pickles, Casey, and obviously what we've been talking about, are there other projects that you're working on now or that you have out there in the world that you want to tell our listeners about as well?
Sure. So I've been doing a series called We're Alive since 2009. We're currently in our working on our eighth and ninth season now. It's been a long running series, and it's all audio. It's kind of how I got my start doing all of this. And the next iteration hopefully will be out next year. That's the Scouts Honor one, which is sort of like a standalone story. And then we have the next iterations of our Descendants, which is the last iterations of the final of the series to close out all of it. But it's been a fun run. It's been going on for a long time, and it's all free on podcast form. And so if anybody was curious about what other things that we've made in audio, there's a large back catalog that might keep you occupied if you're curious.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you again, Casey.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course.
To talk to us.
I'll be more than happy to talk more when, fingers crossed, we do that second season.
Yes. We will hold you to that.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.